Lecture topic, diagnosing the heart.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا صدق الله العظيم. Most respected students of Deen, mothers and sisters, you may have heard this line many times, we may have used it also when saying something to somebody. We may have said, have a heart. Might have heard somebody saying it, have a heart. This would normally be said in a situation where you're trying to tell somebody to consider what you are saying, or give what you are asking for, or do you the favor that you want. Basically, asking somebody to be compassionate or to be helpful. So we say have a heart. Now indeed, it is the heart that is the most important aspect. So now what is being said to the person when you say have a heart? That in your heart, bring in these aspects of compassion, kindness, generosity, whatever other positive qualities of this nature, and that will move you to do what I am asking for, what I am requesting. So now just as we would sometimes say to somebody, have a heart, have we ever stopped to look into our own hearts? What kind of heart we have? What's in our heart? And definitely, Deen also wants us to have a heart. Allah Ta'ala is very happy with certain kinds of hearts and very displeased with other kinds of hearts. So what's in our heart is very important. So we may have told somebody else have a heart. Everybody has a heart. But what's in the heart? That is what is being referred to. Have a heart filled with certain qualities. Now, have we looked into our hearts? What do I have? Now, as we are going through this discussion, there's no need to even wait for another time to go through this exercise. Right now, at this moment in time, we can be, while listening to what is being said, while speaking, we can be considering and pondering over what is in our heart. What do I have in my heart? Each one knows what's in their heart. Even though we may try to maybe brush off some things, try to cover up some things, try to overplay some other things, but we know what our reality is. Everyone knows what's in our heart. Each one knows. And if we don't know what's going on in our own heart, which sometimes is the case also, we think everything is fine where it's not fine. Then it means it's an ICU situation. Sometimes a person loses feeling and sensation because of some illnesses. Diabetes goes very severe. Person's sugar goes very high. Now the leg, for example, foot, starts losing sensation. They can't feel. They can't feel. So now something is maybe getting harmed. There's an insect biting. Person can't feel, doesn't know. Or that insect is biting, he has no idea. That's going to be injecting the poison in him, but he doesn't know. One person who lost the sensation in his legs because of some whatever issue, he was seated close to one heater and he fell asleep. And he probably had some whatever shawl or something that was covering him that slipped from him while he was fast asleep, caught a light. It fell onto the heater and that caught a light and it caught his leg, caught a light, but he still didn't know until somebody else felt something happening and they came to check. This person was on, his leg was on fire, but he was fast asleep. because the sensation had died. Now he doesn't know what's going on. Such a terrible harm. His life was in danger, but he didn't know. So likewise, sometimes this happens also, that the spiritual life, the sensitivity of the heart has died down because of the whatever else has now crept in. So now the person has got some major problems, but doesn't realize it. Heart is dead, spiritually dead. So in any case, alhamdulillah, we have some consciousness, some sensation in our heart. We can look into it. We can see things. So let us ponder, what is in my heart? Now, what should be there in the heart? On the more primary level, most fundamental level, Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat should be in the heart. We should be loving Allah Ta'ala very deeply. How much of the love of Allah is in my heart? The love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should be in my heart. To what extent? Alhamdulillah, every mu'min, without exception, every mu'min has the love of Allah Ta'ala. Every mu'min has the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There cannot be iman without this. But the level of that love is another question. It's certainly there. But to what level? So now to check what is in my heart. What kind of heart do I have? Is this heart filled with Allah's muhabbat? Is half of it 20%? What level is it? Now how will we judge? We can't look into the heart. There's no thermometer to put into it. There's no other instrument to use to check the level of muhabbat, to check the level of love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is going to tell us what is the extent of this? What we are ready to do for Allah Ta'ala. For Allah Ta'ala, Allah is not in need for us to do anything for Him. Meaning Allah's command, how much are we ready to fulfill it? What Allah Ta'ala has forbidden, how much are we ready to stay away from it? That will tell us how much love of Allah Ta'ala is in the heart. If we're trying to duck salah, or now we have to perform our salah now, because now we're in madrasa, and zuhr time now, we're going to have to perform the salah. So now let's see now which corner I can find. I'll just surround there and not do anything. Just make it look like I'm performing salah. Oh, well now, perform the salah, just haphazardly, don't worry man. The muallima is not going to see me or what I'm doing. Then it's not just what who saw and who didn't see, it's for us to see in our heart. What have I got in my heart that is making me do this? Or how weak is that love of Allah Ta'ala, which I should have had my heart filled with? What level of that love is there that is not even driving me to now perform my salah correctly, to perform my salah on time, to be conscious of the salah, to be now very anxious that the time of salah came in and now I'm still stuck in this whatever situation. I need to quickly go now. I need to quickly go and get ready for salah and perform my salah before it starts getting late. Now, what is the level of love in my heart that hasn't yet brought it to that? It's not even driving me to this much. So now it means I have a lot to do in that regard. Allah Ta'ala's command is don't do these things. Whatever, so many things we are aware of, which are things that surround us in our life, day-to-day temptations that come. So how much is Allah Ta'ala's love that it stops me from doing that? Likewise, the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So how much of that muhabbat is in my heart? How I will know? How much I'm ready to follow his Mubarak ways? How much am I ready to stay far away from the ways of Yahud and Nasara? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam totally distanced us away from that. Khaliful Yahud repeatedly in so many ahadith opposed the way of the Jews, opposed the Yahud, opposed the Nasara, opposed the Mushrikeen in our day-to-day life, in how we go about things, how we dress, how we have whatever social functions and so on, family functions and other things that go on day-to-day life. Is it resembling the way of the Yahud and Nasara? Or is it close to the Mubarak way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? All this will tell us how much of love we have for him. Where is the heart closer, more closely attached? To Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Oh, Allah forbid, it's drifting towards the ways of Yahud and Nasara. So now we need to look into our hearts. We look into many things. We look into the phone, stuck onto it for hours sometimes. How many times we just stopped to look into our hearts? Now, how do we look into our hearts? We're going to go and get an X-ray machine. We're going to go find an MRI maybe somewhere. That MRI or all the best technology also cannot show us anything in the heart. What we're looking for. What we're looking for, all we need to do is we want to see it. We can see it. If we want to see it, you will be able to see it. How we will be able to see it? Like how the Sahaba, they saw it. How the Sahaba saw it? Now one is that we, because of our weak spiritual sight. So now just as an example, one person was very, very weak sighted. He was walking somewhere. There was a huge beam, like a wooden beam, that was placed across somewhere because they were probably doing some renovations or whatever. Now this person was walking. He didn't know that this work is carrying on right here. I could see, but very, very weak sight. So now this huge beam was right in front of him. He knocked it, meaning his forehead or whatever, knocked right into it. Got hurt. How come? Such a big beam right in the way. How he didn't see it? His sight, very weak sighted. So such a big beam, but due to weak sightedness, he didn't see it. Couldn't see, couldn't detect. He's walking freely, walking casually, and he knocked into it, and he got harmed, hurt, injured. And then you get sometimes that a person has a very sharp sight, very sharp vision. And now from a distance, he saw one tiny thing lying somewhere. One pun head he saw sticking out somewhere. He said, hey, what's a pun doing here? Now there's a tiny pun head. Somebody dropped one pun somewhere. And he saw it. And sometimes saw it in semi-darkness also. What's the difference? How sharp his vision is. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an, he had come back home after being in the company of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was there for that period of time. Then he came home. Now he was with his family, children. And then he suddenly came out of his house saying, Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala has become a munafiq. So this was surprising. Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an, he's going to become a munafiq. What does this mean? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he met him. He said, look, this is my condition. When we are with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it seems like Jannat and Jahannam is right in front of us. That fervor and zeal of Iman is at such a high. Now we come home, so now we don't feel the same. Now he sensed the slight little change, which was not anything wrong that happened, but it was just a natural situation. That because of the barakat of the direct barakat of the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was reflecting directly on them in that company, obviously, being away from that direct reflection, you're not going to feel the same. You're not going to see the same amount of that barakat and noor. It's going to slightly differ. But he sensed that, and he sensed it at such a high level that he came out passing the fatwa about that he's become a munafiq, whereas that wasn't the case. But that was the intensity of how he felt. Now, just as they found that slight difference also, they detected it. Whereas it wasn't any wrong happened. No, nothing wrong happened. It wasn't any deficiency in any good. But it was just that intensity of that noor in the direct company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was obviously not going to be felt back home. If we also want to see it, we can see it. We don't have that extent of sharp vision. So we're going to have to look for it in a more dedicated manner. This looking for it is what is called muhasaba. It's called muraqaba. Take a minute or two daily, close our eyes and just put our head down. And so to say, now search our hearts. And we'll see a lot of things. If we're sincere and we genuinely want to look for things. Otherwise, if a person wants to make a joke of it, Allah forbid, they'll find all kinds of things there which they'll make a joke of. They won't see what they're supposed to see. So, we should make, this is the muraqabah that is encouraged very strongly. Sit down, the muhasabah, taking stock of ourselves and look into our hearts. What's in my heart? Now, these are the fundamental things that we discussed. Then together with this are the various noble qualities. For example, in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the warning about hasad, about jealousy. So now it's something to look into our heart, search there, that jealousy is such a severe illness of the heart, a malady, a disease of the heart, that in the Hadith Sharif it's mentioned that jealousy consumes and burns up, destroys a person's good deeds, like fire destroys dry wood. You set fire to dry wood, in no time it's up in flames and then dust, ash and gone. Likewise, a person gets caught up in hasad and acting on hasad, on jealousy, he destroys the good deeds that he did. All the reward destroyed. Now, such a malady, such a disease, and many times, the person just feels oblivious, doesn't think that I have this problem. But if we look at things deeply, we'll realize that what's prompting so many of the things. For example, I like to make a certain person a target of my mocking, for example. I find something to mock the person about. I'll make some joke about the person, instigate others to now also call that person by some nickname which the person doesn't like. I'll make fun of the person. Let us think within ourselves. If we do something like this, then to think now, okay, what motivates me to do that? Because it's a big sin. It's causing takleef, it's causing harm to somebody. It's iza'ul Muslim. It's troubling a Muslim, causing pain and difficulty to a Muslim. And that is a major sin. So now when something is so harmful, so severe, why am I doing it then? And then we seem to get fun in doing it. So why are we doing it? And why are we taking fun out of it? Now we don't realize there's an underlying issue. So now that underlying issue is giving rise to such a major sin. What's the underlying issue? There is hasad for that person. Now that jealousy for that person, I may not even be sometimes conscious of it. But now what jealousy demands? Jealousy wants to see the downfall of the next person. That's what jealousy wants. I want to see that person downfall. How downfall? Some way or the other. The person must be in some trouble, some problem, some pain, some difficulty. So if I can't see that happening anywhere else, then I need to make something happen. So now I'll start mocking because I know that's going to hurt him. So I'll mock him some way. I'll instigate others to now do the same. So now others will laugh at him, do something or her. So now when I now will see, okay, this person seems to be hurting now because people are mocking him, laughing at him. He's feeling a little bit down. Feeling now he's being humiliated in some way. So now obviously that's going to make him feel down or make her feel down. So I'm getting fun over this. Why? Because the hasad is making me want to see this. Then I must see somebody being hurt. So what a terrible feeling. What a terrible... It's like a somebody's clothing. Now imagine it's Eid day or any occasion. Somebody is wearing some clean clothes and now one is, for example, somebody came and splashed mud. You'll get very enraged. Worse than that, imagine somebody went and there was some dung lying around. Some dog had left his mess. Somebody picked that up and threw it on our clothing. How enraged we'll be. Now, terrible that is. It is disgusting. But just as that is disgusting and we'll get very, very upset at whoever does this, or if nobody did it deliberately, one car was passing and all is splashed on us, we don't even know who went past, but we're going to be terribly upset, might say things, we don't even know who the driver was, that car is gone, driver is gone, might be cursing him. Why? Because he soiled us, our clothing, etc. But having jealousy in the heart, it soils the heart more than the dog's mess soils the clothing. How much that anger will feel over that mess that has come onto our clothing, we should be more concerned and more upset that shaitan has messed our heart up with this jealousy, with this malice, and this ill feeling towards others. With all these things, shaitan has now, just like somebody passing by, threw this mess on us, we'll want to now, don't know what might do to the person. And some people, many people, mashallah, they walk around armed, in that if they have a firearm, but they don't have, they got their hand on the trigger, but they don't have the hold of their anger, then in that anger they might pull the trigger. Allah forbid what they'll do. These kind of things happen. Why? Because somebody soiled my clothes with this mess, soiled my body externally with this. But now shaitan soiled my heart with something worse. That mess that is in the heart, we're not paying any attention to that, not concerned about it. Why? Because that heart is, that sensitivity has gone because of the indulgence in sin, etc. So now one was a major sin of mocking someone, hurting somebody, troubling somebody, taking somebody's things and knowing now this is going to cause some difficulty. All these other things, we take somebody's book and hide it away somewhere. Why? This person now get in trouble, they didn't do their homework. There's Ustad, the Muallim is asking, where's your homework? I don't know, I can't find my book. So now the problem starts now. Now the next day they'll find it somewhere. Now in all that we took some excitement out of it. What kind is that excitement? That means that the heart is messed. To take fun and pleasure at somebody else's pain, and that too, somebody innocent, somebody who is learning deen, and to take pleasure at that person's pain, how messed the heart must be for that to happen. But now this is the point and this is the purpose. Allah Ta'ala has kept the door of sincere tawbah open. And when a person turns to Allah Ta'ala and makes amends, then Allah Ta'ala cleans that heart out. Allah opens a way to clean the heart out for the person. And Allah Ta'ala loves that shining, clean heart. So now what it requires but starting point? Starting point is to look into the heart, to search within, check over and over again. Why am I doing this? Why do I cause this takleef? Or I back answer, for example. Why? This is not good character, it's not good akhlaq, it's wrong. And depending on who, if somebody is back answering, for example, the muallima, that's a terrible thing. Worse than that, back answering their parents. Extremely terrible. So why do I do this? Such a terrible thing. Such poor character. So why do we ask ourselves that question? Repeatedly ask. It's not, well, okay, my mother said something which I wasn't happy about, but does that mean that there's a license to say what we want? To react in any way? If they said something which by mistake was not even right, they said something of that nature by mistake, then too we got no license to back answer. At the most we will keep quiet, or in a respectful manner we'll present what we have to say. But there is no space for back answering our parents, our elders. But now if we're doing it, have we asked ourselves the question, but why am I doing it? What's the reason for doing this? Is it something that, what's prompting me to do this? Now to ask the question, and if we keep asking the question, we'll find the answer. That maybe the company I keep, that's influencing me to do this. Because others doing it, they have lost their way. I'm seeing that. So I'm thinking that's how to carry on. I'm losing my way also. If we can't see it in any way, then we should ask somebody else to help us see it. They will help us to see it. So the point is in all this, we have to look into our hearts. We started off on this note about having a heart. So now the thing is, what kind of heart we have? Check in our hearts. Is it a heart that is going to be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala? or heart filled with mess. Now this is the concern we have to build up. It starts off with a concern, with fikr. It starts off with a zeal and a talab to do the right thing then, to correct it. Then we will need somebody to assist us. How do I go? This is all the mess that I seem to find in my heart. How do I go about cleaning this out? So inshallah, we will make the effort. Then we'll seek the advice from the right sources. They'll guide us to where to take the direction from. And inshallah, we'll be able to get this heart cleaned out, get this heart in a condition that it is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Here in dunya, the outward appearances might seem to get us through in some things or the other, but that too doesn't last for long. But in the akhirat, and even already when death starts coming, no appearances are going to be of any avail if the reality is not in order. If the heart is corrupted, the outward appearance of piety will be of no benefit. If the heart is filled with mess, then the shining exterior is not going to help. And when death will come, we have no idea. Could approach any moment. So we need to make dua also about asking Allah's help to clean our hearts out, to guide us to that which will help us inculcate the right qualities in our hearts, remove all the evil qualities, and in this way, the love of Allah Ta'ala will fill in our hearts, the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love of Deen, the love of the Amal of Deen. We will then be feeling hurt over other people's pain. When somebody else is in pain, like in the Hadith Sharif, it is mentioned the Ummat is like one body. So one part of the body pains, the entire body feels the pain. It's not like the rest of the body is going to say to the toe, but if you're paining, you can remain awake, I'm going fast, I'll be fast asleep. The whole body will stay awake with the pain of that toe. So that's the pain of the Ummah. So now we won't be able to give pain to anyone, we'll be pained by other people's pain. And we'll never find pleasure in somebody else's difficulty. It'll hurt us. But now that comes when we've cleansed the heart. Otherwise, it'll be a very different story. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we make an effort to cleanse our hearts out, to inculcate the right qualities, remove all the evil qualities. Allah Ta'ala make our hearts fill our hearts with His muhabbat and with the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Deen and the amal of Deen, the efforts of Deen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.